We're going to start from Samach Hamubet. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Amar, right where the lines get wider. So we said that there was a machloket about whether we paskin. There was a machloket in the Mishnah. Are women chayavot in Kriya Rivia? That was Tanakama said no. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka said yes. Right? And then we saw the different reasons that they said. Is it maybe prey reve of that was said to Yaakov versus vikib shua that's just relevant for the man because men darkan lichbosh. Okay, now we have two. We have Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who one said halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and one said ein halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. And then they're trying to figure out who it is. They have this story where one rabbi, they're not sure who it was, said that Rabbi Yochanan says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and then they turn their faces to him. And then we try to figure out why they're turning their face, maybe out of respect to the Beit Kesar, because why didn't they just say, just straight out, you're wrong, which the rabbis are not usually hesitant to say. So they say it must have been, right, we can really only explain it according to the opinion of that it was Rabbi Avahu, because he had relations with the Kesar, and they were concerned about embarrassing, you know, creating maybe some tension between them and the Roman emperor because of disrespecting him. So now the Gemara says, okay, well, still we want to know my Havela. So what's the story? So we'll start from there. It's about 12 lines from the bottom, 11 lines maybe. Tashma da Amar Rabbi Chia, right? Tashma always means we're going to bring in some other source and use it to try to figure out our answer. Now, Tashma, by the way, certain times when they use an introductory word, it's clear that they're bringing in a braita or, you know, something from the Tanaitic period. Tashma is a very vague one. It doesn't tell you. Sometimes Tashma is one of these broad musagim. It could mean we're bringing something as a proof. It could mean we're bringing something as a contradiction. It could mean we're bringing. You could bring it for all sorts of reasons, and it could be Tanaitic. It could be a statement of an Amora. The main thing is they're bringing in some other source to use for their purposes. Here, since we just asked a question, what's the halacha? It's obvious that they're bringing it in to tell us this is going to resolve it. So what happens? The Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi Avahu, Amar Rabbi Asi. There was this case before Rabbi Yochanan in the Beit Knesset in Kesari. Okay, basically, there was this issue. The woman said, you can't have children, and I want my ketubah money. So, now, if the assumption is that she's not commanded, then why should she get her ketubah? And this we started with at the end of class yesterday. Basically, we talked about this also in the middle of class, that there's an isha called a moredet. It means that if she wants a divorce for no good reason, then basically, what do we say? We say, fine, you can get a divorce, but, again, the husband has to agree, but you lose your ketubah money because you're asking for no good reason. So, well, you get your ketubah money when, you know, the husband divorces you maybe and, you know, it was his issue, but you don't get the ketubah money if you basically say, I'm not interested in this relationship. Could be a way of protecting the men, because the men, you know, offered these high sumim for the ketubah, and they didn't want just any woman to come along and just say, I want the money, and, you know, it was like a way of protecting them, probably. So, maya vidate. So now, right, if she's not commanded, then basically she has no rights to the ketubah, because who cares if she doesn't have kids, right? Again, it doesn't relate to broader issue of maybe a woman wants to bear children, which we're going to see in a minute, though. So, maya vidate. Dilma ba machmat ta'anahi. So what do they say? Maybe she's cut. In other words, what's the assumption? The assumption is since he said she gets her ketubah, it must be that women are commanded. Because if she wasn't commanded in Peru Rivia, then mayavidite. Sorry, I read it wrong. Isakadatak lomipakte ketubah mayavidita. In other words, what's the point? Why is he giving her the ketubah? So it must be she's commanded in Peru Rivia. Now the Gemara says, no, you can give an alternate reason. She's not commanded in Peru Rivia, but she's deserving of her ketubah. Why? Dilma beba machmata ana. Maybe she really has a good legitimate reason to get divorced. Now you might say, oh, we're talking about some outside reason, and that, you know, no. It's going to relate to the Peru Rivia, and this will maybe satisfy our concern about what do you mean, just because she's not commanded in Peru Rivia, like if she has a desire to have children, don't we consider that an important thing? So now we're going to give a case. So maybe it's machmata ana like this other case. Ki ahi da'ata lekamed Rabbi Ami. Someone came before Rabbi Ami. Amrele. She said to him, Havli ketubah, I want my ketubah, right? In other words, again, can't have children, I want to get divorced. Amrala, zil lo mipaktat. Go away, you're not commanded, okay? Like, you have no claim. You're not commanded in Peru Rivia, therefore don't demand your ketubah. Amrala, Misivu dila mai tahave ala. What's going to happen when I get older? Who's going to take care of me? Okay? In other words, what's going to happen to this woman, meaning to me? Okay, her point is, I have a good claim. If I don't have children, no one's going to take care of me when I get old. Okay? As Amar, ki ha vadai kafinan. In that case, we definitely force him, you know, we try to encourage him, basically, to give you a ktuba, and we force him to give you the ktuba, he gives you a divorce, and then we force him, right? We don't force him to give you a divorce because he can't do that. He has to do it willingly. But basically, in other words, we try to encourage him to give you a divorce, and then we can force him to give you the ketubah money. So that is a good claim, okay? So that's obviously going to be the same thing in this case. He said, you get the ketubah because she had a claim. In other words, I want kids, not necessarily for the mitzvah, but because it's important to me to have kids to take care of me when I get old. Here we're going to have another similar story. Hahid ata lekamed Rav Nachman. Again, the same, right? It just says she came before Rav Nachman. The point is, and she wanted a divorce. She wanted her ketubah because they couldn't have kids. Amar la lo mipaktat. Amar le lo baya hach itit hachutra li yada umara lekura. This poor woman, right? Meaning myself. Okay, doesn't? It's interesting how they always talked about themselves in the third person. Doesn't need a stick in her hand, meaning someone to lean on when I get old, and someone, right, a spade, or what's the word? A shovel for my burial, okay? In other words, I need something. Obviously, she didn't need the stick and the shovel. She said, I need someone to, you know, lean on, and I need someone to take care of my burial. It's, again, she's talking a little bit berimazim, right, hinting, alluding to what she means. Amar ki ha badai kafinan, okay? Clearly, then, we can force him to give you the ketubah money. Okay, a different story. Yehuda b'chizkiya ta'omim hayu. Echad nigmorat surato l'sof tisha, ve'echad nigmorat surato l'tchilat shiv'a. It is a weird case. They were ta'omim, and one was a preemie, and one was a full-born baby. I don't know, actually, right, why they're telling. I guess, I don't know exactly what that means. Okay, number one. Did she conceive 2 months later, or what does it mean?
Sometimes when there's twins, then one thrives at the expense of the other. So one came out big and looking like he was full-term.
That's what you think. Interesting. That makes more sense. It's not that really that happened, that they weren't...
It says sinida.
What?
It says sinida.
Okay. Fine. So when we get to the end of Shas, Nida, our last Masecha, we'll remember this story and we'll try to figure it out then. Okay. So now what happens? Yehudit, who was the mother, Debitu to Rabbi Chia, who was the wife of Rabbi Chia, okay, so this is the wife of Rabbi Chia, Yehudit, she and Rabbi Chia had these twins. Havale tsa'ar le'dash, it was very, very painful for her, okay, the giving birth. Shanai mana, she changed her clothes and dressed up, okay, I recently heard a story at a shiva house where the mother used to give money to all the... It was the father. The father used to give money to anyone who came in the door. So one time the kid wanted money and you know, the father wasn't so willing to give him, and he dressed up in like a... Oh, no, it was the story... It was the opposite. I now remember. It was the father who was nifter. The story was about his mother. His mother used to get stuck at the door, so he dressed up as like a girl. He put on a coat and a this and a that and pretended that he was like needed money, and then she gave him money. Something like that. Anyway, it was a funny story. So here, the same kind of thing. What happens? She changes her clothes and dresses up in costume, okay? As if she's some other woman. No, this is later, after. Va'atil kameja Rabbi Chia. And Amra, ititam mipakta apiria rivya. Does a woman have to, is she commanded in apiria rivya? Amar le lo. He said, no, she's not. So now, right, this is a good, okay, I'll talk about it in a minute. But what happens? She wants to basically not have any more kids. It was so painful for her. She doesn't want to go through the process again. So she says, the woman commanded in apiria rivya. He says, no. Azla ishtaya sama da akrita. She drinks some drug that's going to make her not be able to have children anymore. Okay, l'sof igale milta. Okay, now there's two different nuschaot. Whether, according to this nuschah, he found out what had happened, figured it out maybe, or it means she actually told him. Okay, that's a different version. They're not the words that appear by us, but she went and confided in him what had happened. Amrela ichu yalada lichada kresachrite. Like, too bad. I was hoping to have another batch of twins. Okay, according to the Mefarshim, they had two sets of twins. One was two girls and one was two boys, and that's why he assumed if she got pregnant again, it would be twins, and that's why he's saying, I wish I had another set of twins. It's interesting, the fact that she dresses up, because what's the assumption here, right? If you, I don't know, having a husband as a rabbi, I know the way this works. You ask someone a question, when he's nogea b'davar, it's very tricky to answer properly. In other words, when it relates
well,
to you, right, he has
self-interest.
He's exactly, no gabatavar. He knows what, right? So therefore, it's very hard to ask a question with when he knows it's about you. So therefore, she was smart and she dressed up and wanted to see what he would tell a random person because it would be a very tricky question to ask him when he really, you know, she knew full well he wanted to have more kids. And
what was the relevance of saying that one baby looked full-term, another one looked full-term?
Right, I don't know. I have no idea what the relevance of that is. It could be just to say that maybe that's why it was either, right, either it's just telling us facts or it's telling us, you know, maybe Anita, I didn't look there, but maybe Anita, maybe it tells more about it and there's some relevance to that part and we're just quoting the part that's relevant to us, but they left that in. Yeah, I don't really know. That's why actually when I was preparing it, I didn't really pay attention to that detail because it didn't really have to do with our thing. That's why I didn't think to go look it up then. Okay. Now here we have, why was the assumption that she would have twins when the way he said it? Yehuda b'chizkia achei, paze v'tave achvata. Okay, that's the two sets of twins that he had. Okay, I forgot that said in the Gemara here. The lomi pachta, they're really not commanded. V'ha'amar av acha bar av katina, amar av yitzach, ma'ase b'isha achad, shechetzia shibcha v'chetzia bat chorin, v'kafu et rabav asa bat chorin. Okay, so until now, we've basically established from these stories that women are not commanded in Piri Rivka. So they say, but wait, wasn't there this case that happened where there was a woman who was a half shibcha and half free woman? Remember how that happens, right? They have two adonim, right? And they work for two people. One frees and the other one doesn't. When it came to an eved, what did we say? We force the other, right? This is a machloka Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, and the end Beit Hillel agrees with Beit Shammai, and they say we force him, the guy who's still, he's enslaved to, we force him to free him because otherwise he can't do Puriya Rivya, because he can't marry a shibcha because of the side that's free, and he can't marry a free woman because of the side that's an eved, so he's stuck. So now, what do they say? Ah, they did the same thing to Shibcha. They freed her. They forced the Adon to free her. Why? Must be so that she can do Puriya Rivya. What do you see? She must be commanded. Now they say, no. We have a different reason why. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, you'll like this one. Min ha-kefkir nahaguba. Because she couldn't marry anyone, she was a free agent. You know, basically, she ended up, it's saying that men took advantage of her. In other words, they basically turned her into a prostitute because since she had no other way of having relations with a man, they basically turned her into a prostitute, and that's why they forced people to free her. Okay? So here it's interesting. Actually, you see, in a sense, that the rabbis wanted to protect her from men taking advantage of her specifically. It's nahaguba. It's not that she made herself into a prostitute, but other people were making her into a prostitute, and therefore they wanted to basically protect the woman. Hadron alach habal yivinto. Another prayer of Yom done. Okay. We're past the half point, by the way. Just so you should be aware. Okay. Oh, I forgot to mention, now that we're starting with the Kohen, it reminded me. It's my grandfather's yahrzeit today, so I wanted to do our memory in his honor. It's Yosef HaKohen. So our family, he was the Kohen Gadol. So, and Chazan, and, you know, real manhig. So, okay. Starting with that, we're going to get into the Kohen Gadol. We're going back to a Kohen Truma issues, okay? Today we're going to learn about, okay, let's just do some review. Who gets to eat Truma, who doesn't, okay? A woman, right, is a Bat Kohen. She marries out. She marries out of the Kohuna. What happens? She can't eat Truma if he dies and she has no kids, then she goes back and she can eat Truma in her father's house. Flip case. A regular woman marries a Kohen, so now she eats Truma. Unless she's not allowed to marry the Kohen, like an Almana the Kohen Gadol, which is the first case we're going to start with, or a Grusha the Kohen Hedyo. Okay, if she's not allowed to marry him, she's considered a Halala. Okay, she becomes a Halala, and she can no longer eat Truma. Okay? If she's not a Halala, she marries a Kohen like she's supposed to, she eats Truma, she's a Bat Yisrael, then he dies. If she has kids, she can still eat Truma. If she doesn't have kids, she goes back to not being allowed to eat Truma. Okay? We're going to learn some other halachot about it, but that's the basic intro. Now, another intro. We learned about, by the end of today, we'll know this well, Nichtzei Tzon Barzel and Nichtzei Malug. Okay? Okay. Nichtzei Tzon Barzel. Okay? So, we'll talk about where it comes from, the name, but in a minute. Woman comes into the marriage with property. She puts it down in the ketubah, and whatever the value is, what happens? While she's married, the husband can use it, get the proceeds. when he dies or divorces her, she gets it back at the value it was at the date of the writing of the ketubah, you know, at the date of the marriage. If it depreciated, so it's her loss.
It's his loss.
If it went up in value, he gains the up in value, and she gets it exactly as it is. It's now her loss, right?
That's like California divorce law, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Exactly like
interesting.
That.
Okay, good to know. California divorce law matches halacha. Okay. So those are nichsei malul. Nichsei tzom barzel. Now, why are they called tzom barzel? So some people say because the way they used to do it with the sheep, with the cat, the sheep and all that stuff, it's the same. Was the same thing. You would get, you know, you would, I guess if you would, I don't know, what was the case where you didn't buy it, but you would give someone your thing and they would have to return it to you exactly at the value, the value didn't change. And they say the barzel, because barzel is stable, right? It doesn't change at all. It's exactly as it went in. That's how you take it out. Nichsei malug, which I saw one interpretation in Wikipedia, it said, either it comes from miliga, which is rivachim, the proceeds. Okay, we're going to see in this case, right, the value, the depreciation or appreciation goes to her. Okay, so it either comes from revach, from that lashon, or it comes from the akkadit, the Akkadian, which is miligu means dowry. Okay, so now these are things that she comes into the marriage with that were hers that she doesn't write down in the ketubah, or alternatively, she inherits them once she's already married. Again, he gets to use them and get whatever comes out of the payroll, it's called, right? Profits, thank you. But when he dies or divorces her, whatever stage it's at then, that's what she gets, okay? So if it depreciated, it's her depreciation. If it appreciated, she gets the gain, okay? So those, let's put it in other words, belong to him less than the other ones, right? The first ones belong to him more because... wait one second. Right, because the nichsei malug belongs to him less. Because basically they're hers. She doesn't put them in the ketubah, so they're not really his. And then basically all the proceeds go to her, so they belong to him less. Okay, so now let's see. Amana lekohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza lekohen edyo, forbidden marriage. Okay, so obviously she can't eat truma. But what if hichnisu lo avdei malug v'avdei tzom barza? Let's say she brings in with her slaves, some of them are nichsei malug, and some of them are tzom barzel, okay? Some of them are in the ketubah, some of them aren't. Avdei malug, lo yochlu b'truma, okay? Avdei malug of hers, right, remember, she's forbidden, she can't eat truma, her avdei malug also can't eat truma, because they're hers, basically. So whatever she's like, they're the same. But avdei tzom barzel, yochelu. They get to eat truma. Why? Because again, they belong more to the husband because he gets the value of them when they leave. In other words, she just gets like this amount of money at the end. It's almost like he promises her, when you leave the marriage, I'll give you this amount of money. But the property, and this is going to be our discussion today, the property really belongs to him, or maybe it doesn't. We don't know exactly. Or right. So the eved in this case really belongs to him, according to the Mishnah. The Elohein of Demalug. Now they're going to give a little description. This is a little review of what we did, but we'll see more description here. This is the story with Avdei Malug. Im metu, metu la. Okay, let's say you have an Eved. Okay, before we're talking about property, devaluing, appreciating. Now what happens? You have an Eved, you bring it in Avdei Malug, and he dies. Well then, you don't leave the marriage with it, right? He's dead, it's your responsibility. The woman now doesn't get anything. V'im hotiru, and if he went up in value, let's say he went through some training course and is now much stronger and can do a lot more. Okay, so hotiru la. She gets the value of it. Af al pishu chayab b'mizonotan. Even though the husband needs to feed them, hare elu lo yochlu b'truma. Okay, again, remember, this is why you might have thought they could eat truma, because the husband's responsibility is to feed the people once they're in his household. But if you're a Kohen, and you married a grusha or an almanah to a Kohen gadol, since the almanah herself can't eat, he also can't eat truma. So obviously you have to provide for him from something else. Be'elu hen avdei tzom barzel. Okay, this is tzom barzel. Imetu metu lo. Okay, again, if it dies, it's his fault, right? He still has to give her back exactly the value of the eved when he came in. V'imotiru, and if they went up in value, hotiru lo. Now, big line, ho'il v'hu chayav v'achuyutan, because he's responsible for them, right? Whatever happens to them, if he dies, the husband still has to give her the money. That's called chayav v'achuyutan. We're going to see how this compares to chayav v'achuyutan, for example, when you rent something. Okay, what's your responsibility when you rent something? Okay, is it the same as, right? We use the exact same phrase there. Chayav b'achor yutan. If you rent something and something breaks, right, you have to, let's say it gets stolen while you rented it, so you have to replace it. Okay, you're responsible. So since you're responsible, meaning if something were to happen to this Eved while he's in your property, right, while he's your Nechsei Tzon Barzel, you have to give back the woman the value of this Eved. So therefore, you're chayav b'achor yutan, and therefore, they say, yochlu b'truma. Okay? Since he's chayav b'achor yutan, hare'elu yochlu b'truma. They get to eat truma. Because he's responsible. Yeah.
Are these general things, or are these described in the top? Meaning, is it that...
This is all true for any of Demalug and Nechsei Tzon Barzel.
So it's not because
it's a general rule. No. This is true for any Nechsei Tzon Barzel, Nechsei Malug.
Okay, so it's not
and then, but then it's
the
relating to, therefore, that's why he eats truma. Okay?
Because it makes sense that in the update from Barzal that he doesn't eat it because she's a chalala.
Right, oh, exactly. No, exactly. That for sure is... Sorry. I thought you meant the general... May too low, all that's general, but the line about Truma is clearly only in this case. It's only
that's
talking...
Okay.
Yes. It's that's only right. talking... Okay.
If she's
sorry.
Not a chalala, he can eat
if she, okay. Let's... All yeah, all yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's make it clear. She comes into the marriage, anything she comes into the marriage with, if she can eat truma, then they can all eat truma. The issue of the truma here is only in the case where she's a halala, then what happens to her slaves? So then we're going to distinguish. If her slaves are tzon barzel, then basically they're going to be like the husband, and the yeah. husband can eat truma. So then they're kikohen, we'll say, right? Okay? And if they're malug, then they're kisha. And if she can't eat truma, then they can't eat truma.
So that just
okay.
supports...
Sorry to make that clear.
It just supports that anything stone barzel is really his.
Exactly.
Really
that's
his.
What we're trying to say. That the nifsei stone barzel are really his. And that's going to be the discussion here. Are they really his? Or are they just his? Now, if you notice...
Except when she dies.
So this is what the Gemara is going to say. I'll already... Since we're already talking about it. This line... That's why I said this line is so important. Since he's chayav ba'achra yutan, hare'elu yochelu. It doesn't say, since they're harehen shelo. Doesn't say, since they're his. So that's going to be the discussion here. Are they his? Or is it just because he has responsibility that puts them into his property for the sake of truma, but not that they're really his? And that's going to be our whole discussion today. How much do they belong to her, and how much do they belong to him? And there's all different ramifications of that. Okay.
Not that they belong to him, except when he dies and they go back to her.
So we'll see. Really, that's going to be our discussion. And it does sound that way, but it doesn't say, the Gemara is going to say, but it doesn't say harehen shelo. If it had said harehen shelo, then we know clearly that that's the case. Right. It says they're chayav achrayut. But then we're going to say, is really chiyuv achrayut allow someone to eat truma? Because we're going to see some other cases where just because you have achrayut doesn't mean you can eat truma. So that's going to be our whole discussion.
If she divorces him for no reason, he gets to keep it.
I don't think so. I think if she divorces him, that's a good question. Does she get... No, the Nechse Malug would definitely... the Nechse Tzom Barzel. That's a good question. What would happen to them if... Right, because she doesn't get her ketubah.
Yeah.
So that means because they're in her ketubah, she doesn't get her own property back? That's a really good question. Right, we're going to learn Dimo Redet. So
really
keep that in mind.
It's really...
Right. When we get to Dimo Redet and we really learn it inside, we'll discuss that. Okay, we'll keep that in mind. It's a good question. I don't know the answer yet. Okay. Bat Yisrael sheniseit lekohen. Okay, so now what if you have a Bat Yisrael? Okay, she's a regular, right? She's not a kohen. She marries a kohen, so she can eat truma. V'echnisa lo avadim. Okay, now this is what you were saying, Shoshana. This is clear. Bein avdei malug, bein avdei tzon barzel, hare'elu yochlu b'truma. In a basic case, right, we started off with the exception. The Mishnah really should have started out with the basic case. Okay, the basic case is this case. So they always eat truma. Ubat kohen sheniseit liYisrael v'echnisa lo avadim. If she's a bat kohen and now she marries the Yisrael, right? Bein avdei malug, bein avdei tzon barzel, hare'elu lo yochlu b'truma. Right? They all her avadim go with her. Okay. So now we're going to say, right? It's only in the case where she becomes a halala. What happens to our avadim? Are they like her or are they like him? And that depends on whether it's tzon barzel or it's malug. Avdei malug lo yochlu b'truma. Am I? Now we're going to say a basic question. Why are Avdei Malug not eating truma? Am I? Lehave ki kinyano shekana kinyan. There's a halacha that anything that you buy an eved, and your eved buys an eved. Okay? So that kinyan of your kinyan, okay, you understand? Something that you own acquires something else, that's considered like your own kinyan. So here, if he acquires a woman, okay, through marriage, that's what's considered, right? He acquires her, Ishana Kinet, right? He acquires her, and now her kinyan is her eved should be not like her, but like him. Okay? Because that's this halacha. So now we're going to see. Detanya. Minayin the Kohen. Okay, here's a braita that says this. Minayin the Kohen shenasai shava kanavadim sheochlu betruma. How do you know that when you get married or you buy slaves, they can eat truma? Shenemar v'kohen ki yikne nefesh, kinyan kaspo hu yochalbo. Okay, when the Kohen buys something, he, right, that person gets to eat truma. Who is the kinyan? The kinyan gets to eat the truma. Uminayin li shasha kantavadim, v'avadav shakanu avadim. That's this case of the kinyan, kinyano. Sheochlu betruma. Shenemar, now it's not so clear here, but what's clear here is they're talking about, it's the same pasuk, okay? Shenemar b'kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo hu yochalbo. Or maybe it's read kinyan kaspo hu yochalbo. No, it must be hu yochalbo. Okay, so now what words are unnecessary here? Kinyan kaspo is unnecessary. So they say from the words kinyan kaspo, what do we learn? That anything that his kinyan buys is, right, anything that something he acquired buys becomes his own kinyan. The extra words of kinyan kaspo teaches you about the kinyan of his kinyan. Okay, that it's considered, can also eat truma. So now, right, here's our case. Our case should basically say, right, so kinyano shekana kinyan. Okay, so now what do they say? So now they're answering like this. Kinyano shekana kinyan ochel. Okay, what does that mean? Kol ha'ochel ma'achil. This is only true in a regular kinyan osha kinyan, shekana. But what if, right, you have, right, you buy something, and then your something buys something. Okay, so until now, what did we say, right? You're the adam here. You have a kinyan, which is, let's say, right, the isha, or the evet, and your evet buys something else. It only works if the middle part is someone who can eat truma. But if the middle one, the kinyan, your kinyan can't eat truma, then also their kinyan can't eat. While it's true that this the kinyano becomes yours, but it only becomes yours through the prism of what you bought. So if yours can't eat, then their can. So let's see if that's really true. So first they say, so kol ochel ma'achil. Anyone who can eat, then they can be ma'achil to their kinyan. So now they say, hello, is that really true? Here we have a case of a Kohen himself. Okay, this isn't the case of the Kinyan Okinyan, but the Kohen himself, if he's Arel, he doesn't have a Brit Milah, or he's Tameh, he can't eat Truma, right? Does that mean that everyone in his household can't eat Truma just because he happens to be an Arel? Right? Does that mean all his Abadim can't eat or his wife can't eat? No, it's not true. Right, the Kohen becomes Tameh. Does that mean anyone who eats Truma because of him now can't eat Truma? Right? Okay? Or the Ariel case. So now what do we say? No. Hatam pumayu kaiv lehu. I don't know exactly how that... I can tell you the exact translation, but I'll tell you really what it means. I don't understand exactly the connection between the literal translation and what it means, but pumayu is his mouth. His mouth hurts him, so what does this mean? In those cases, he can resolve it. He can do a brit milah. He can tovel. He can get out of it. Whereas this woman, who's now a halala, can't get out of this forever. She's forever a halala. She can never, ever eat truma again. So there's a difference between someone who can't ever eat and someone who could potentially eat. So now we're no longer left with the question of how can you say that, you know, I can tell you cases, the Gemara said, where people themselves can't eat, but yet people in their household can eat. But that's different from the halala case, because those are two cases where the man has an out. He can go tovel, he can go do a brit milah, and then he'll be able to eat. So it's a different kind of not being able to, being allowed to eat truma, right? In eino ochel and in eino ochel, there are two different cases. Eino ochel of the halala means she can never eat, okay? Eino ochel of the man, he can potentially get out of the problem and fix it, and therefore it's not the same type of psul.
Why wouldn't they just say that there's no kinyan? Meaning the dushin's not
tov. Right, it's a different case where it's not kinyan, but right.
Dushin's not tov sin because it's phenomenon.
Oh, I see. You're saying, so right, kedushin aren't tov sin, so there's no kinyan. That's a good, right. That would be a good...
It seems so obvious.
Right. Yeah, I also thought, why didn't they add this Kiddushin Tovsim issue into it? Right? It is weird, because we generally do say the Kiddushin are in Tovsim. Ah, no. That's why, because Kiddushin are Tovsim b'chai ve'lavim. That's why. It's exactly why. Right. So, at least according to most opinions, right? Not according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva would hold this, but right.
Okay.
Right. You could say, well, this is just Rabbi Akiva, but apparently they didn't think that. They thought it was across the board. That's why.
A Kohen can continue to eat Truma if he marries a Chalala?
Yeah, apparently. That's really interesting. Yeah. I also thought that was interesting. I wanted to look into that, but I didn't have time to really research it. But I also found that very interesting. That according to this, a Kohen himself can continue to eat truma, even that though he married.
Lost an awful lot of privileges.
Right, it is strange because he really. I
they don't get aliyot anymore.
Yeah, I don't know why. I thought he also loses rights once he does that, but I guess not. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I also was thinking about that.
So you think it would have created an incentive for the Kohanim not to do this?
Right, right. Well, we'll see soon that one of the answers is going to relate to that. Okay. Vahare mamzer. But now we're going to bring another case. We have a mamzer case. She'ein ochel, who's not allowed to eat truma, and yet is ma'achil. Okay, what's this case? This is a case. Okay, it's a little complicated. A woman marries... Wait, let me remember exactly so I don't get it confused. A woman... One second. Okay. Right. Rashi has it. Okay. Bat Yisrael shenisait lekohen. Let's look in Rashi. That's easier to follow. A regular woman marries a kohen. She has a baby. Okay, so kohen, woman, baby. That girl, okay, regular marriage. That girl marries a mamzer. Then they have a son who's a mamzer. Okay? So now... granddaughter of this woman, grandson is a mamzer. Okay, grandson is a mamzer. Now what happens? Then the daughter dies, okay, but the son is still alive. So now, and her husband is dead, right? The husband of the first woman who was married to the Kohen dies. So now what happens? Can she eat truma? So she can because she still has children from her daughter, right? In other words, she still has children from that Kohen. She has her daughter, but she doesn't have her daughter anymore. Her daughter died, okay? In other words,
so she has her mom's
A marries marriage. B, right? A is a Kohen, B is Ishto, okay? They have a daughter who has a mamzer son because she marries a mamzer, right? So now their son is a mamzer. So now the bat dies and the husband dies. So now, this woman can eat truma still because she has this mamzer grandson. Now, a mamzer can't eat truma, but he allows his grandmother, the fact that he's alive, means she has a child through this kohen, and therefore she can still eat truma.
I guess like the first child, kinyan and kinyanot.
Exactly. Like, so that's what they're saying. Exactly. Now, here it's not a kinyan case, and that's what they're going to answer. It's different because it's not a kinyan.
Right. Still,
but they're saying, here you see someone who can't eat truma is the one who is allowing the other one to eat truma. Okay? So Bahare Mamzer. Here you have two words in the Gemara which, you know, need a 5-minute explanation. Okay. She'ein ochel u'ma'achil. Okay, sorry, 5 words. Amar Ravina, kinyan ochel. Kinyan ochel kamar. I was talking about a kinyan, right? In other words, it's a kinyan. The kinyan has to, when you do a kinyan, then you have to be allowed to eat. I wasn't talking about something that wasn't kinyan. So kinyan ochel ma'achil. She'eno ochel, eno ma'achil. So if your kinyan, if you have it right, if the thing you acquired can eat, then things it acquires can eat. But if a kinyan, she'eno ochel, eno ma'achil. Okay. So that's one explanation. Rava Amar. So now, so that's our question now. Now we're left with one second, right? Avdei malug lo yochlu b'truma. Isn't it a kinyanosha kana kinyan? Okay, then we answered no, because it has to be that your kinyan can eat, okay? And only if it can eat does it allow others to eat. Now, that's explanation number one. Now we're going to have a second and a third explanation. Rava Amar, both the second and the third, this is all assuming that mida oraita, your kinyanosha kinyan is only true if the kinyan can eat. If the kinyan can't eat, then he can't pass it to the next person. The next two explanations are going to say no. Really, kinyanosha kana is a kinyan midoraita. But the rabbis made a gzera in this case, each for different reasons. We're going to see two different reasons. Rav Amar, midoraita mechal achle, v'rabbananu degazru behu. Why? Kadesha tomar, ani eni ochelet, avadai enan ochlin, zonahi etzlo, hilkach atela puka. Here's what we said before. I think Ani said it, I don't remember. But right, you would think they were incentivizing the kohen to divorce her. This is exactly the incentive. She's going to sit there in his house and say, hey, look, listen, I can't eat truma. My slaves can't eat truma. What kind of a life is this? I'm not really a part of this household. And in the end, she's going to be so unhappy that he's going to want to divorce her because nobody wants to live with an unhappy wife. Okay? It's a disincentive clause. Rav Ashi Amar, Gzera Shema Ta'achil Achar Mita. What are we worried about? We're worried that she can't eat truma, right? But her Eved can eat truma. Now, once her eved can eat truma, we might think that once the husband dies, when she no longer can eat truma, but she's not eating truma anyway, she might think that her eved can continue to eat truma. Okay? And therefore, she might make that mistake, and we don't want, right? We have to be very careful who doesn't eat truma. It's a very serious offense. So therefore, don't have him eat truma ever so that he doesn't come to make a mistake once she dies. And he thinks, oh, I'm just still part of the household. Just because I'm here because of the wife doesn't mean I can't eat truma. And he'll get confused, and he won't eat truma. Eat truma. So then they say, wait, but elamayata. Now there's two different ways to explain this. I'll explain Tosfo because I kind of like it better. Elamayata, ba Yisrael shenisei lekohen lo ta'achil, gzera shema ta'achil achar mita. So this is, again, this is a question whether it's talking about a regular person with her avadim or a regular person herself. A regular ba Yisrael, then, if we're worried that people will get confused and think that you can't eat truma, that once the husband dies, you can continue to eat truma. In other words, once you've already eaten truma all your life, you'll just think, oh, he died, I can still eat truma. So therefore, maybe we should say, don't ever let any Bat Yisrael, this is Tosfot's reading, don't let any Bat Yisrael eat truma, because she'll end up not realizing that when the Kohen dies, she can't eat truma anymore. And she can't, right? Like we learned, again, only if she doesn't have kids. So now, why don't we use the gzera there? Meaning, this isn't a good gzera, because we take the gzera anywhere, right? If it all has to do with the death of the husband, then anytime the husband dies, right, we should make a gzera in any regular case. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, ba'amana kohenet. It's only talking about an amana kohen gadol, who herself was a bat kohen. Okay, so an amana who marries a kohen gadol, but she herself came from a family of kahuna. So ate la aruye, she might be more heter. What happens to this? What did we say? You marry a kohen, what happens? Well, sorry, you're a bat kohen. You marry a kohen, what happens? You go back in the end to eat in your father's house when the kohen dies. So you can eat truma. But this almana, she is a halala. She's never, ever allowed to go back and eat truma. So now what's going to happen? She might think, though, I can't eat truma because I'm a halala. But my eved, okay, when my first husband died, when I became an almana, what happened? My eved went back to eating truma in my father's house. So now that my second husband dies, it's true, I'm a halala. But my eved, maybe he can still eat because nothing happened to him because I can't eat truma, right? So they might think that the eved can go back. So this is what they're going to say. De'ate la'oruye. La'oruye means she might be more heter. She'll think that it's mutar. Because me'ikar achle b'truma de be'nasha, to my father's house. Insebele, now that I got married, lahai, to this one, achle b'truma de gavrai. In other words, he can, de gavrai, what's that? She can eat truma. You might think he can eat truma de gavrai. I guess from my... Okay, now that I got married to this one, achle truma de gavrai, right? He's been eating, because remember, kinyan o kinyan, right? So the eved can eat truma, and therefore, vahashta, haja limilta, limilte kamaita. Now we go back to what was originally. Now, since the eved was allowed to eat truma when she was married, she thinks that the eved can go back to eating truma in her father's house. Velo yada, to make kar lo shavita lenafsha chalala, hashta shavita lenafsha chalala, and therefore, he can't go back to eating truma in her father's house because she's a halala. Second. Right. So the question is, why would he be allowed to eat truma in the... right. That's why. He belongs to this woman, right? But he also belongs to the husband, the new husband, right? So now, what's the whole issue? Kinyano kinyan, right? Therefore, this eved, right, is the kinyano kinyan of the husband. While the husband's alive, he can eat truma. When the husband dies, he goes back to, with the woman, to the father's house. In the father's house, he's got no rights to truma because he only belongs to the almana. In the case where she was married, he belonged to the owner. And the owner was able to give him truma. But now that he goes back to the wife, he basically belongs to the wife 100%. In which case,
is
now
he
when
she... her father?
No, he belongs to her. It's her nechassim. So when she goes back to the father's house, he'll think, oh, yeah, I can eat truma just like I did the first time. When her first husband died, I was able to eat truma. We went back to her father's house. And since I was able to eat truma, even though she was a halala in the husband's house, I ate truma. So they might think that he can eat truma back in the father's house, but he can't because here's 100% the wives. Okay, so now they say, okay, well, tina hamana kohenet. That makes sense in the case of an amana kohenet that we'll make this gzera. But amana ba Yisrael ma'ika lememar, it wouldn't be relevant, right? The Mishnah just said amana la kohen gadol. It didn't say a bat kohen almana, right? An amana kohenet. So therefore, what do they say? Ma'ika l'memra. So then they just say very simply, almanute lo plige rabbanan. They didn't distinguish between almanot. They just said, we're going to make this ksera to all almanot so that we don't end up with a problem in the case of the almanah bakohen. Okay, so according to those two explanations, it was just a ksera. According to the first explanation, it's really midoraita. They can't eat truma. Itmar. Ha-mechaneset shum le-ba'ala. He omeret what happens here? She puts in, okay, I'm bringing into this marriage my computer, and it's worth 3,000 shekel, okay? She writes the words shum. Shum is the evaluation. She puts in like an evaluation, okay? She gets a shamai to come and evaluate how much this property, the computer is worth, writes it down in the ketubah. And then what happens when she leaves? What did we say? She gets 3,000 shekel, basically, the value of the computer. So what if she says, I want my computer? Does she get to take the computer? Now, obviously, if the computer, in this case, the computer would clearly depreciate in value. Okay, so let's say it was worth 3,000 shekel, and now it's worth 2,500 shekel. So she basically would leave with the computer, and she'd leave with an extra 500 shekel. He would give her in cash, okay? Or check, or anything. Now, if it was a house, let's say, and the house went up in value, then she would take the house, but she would return. And as, clearly, we're not discussing that she's taking more money than she deserves or less money than she deserves. We're just saying, can she have the object itself? So she takes the house. Let's say she leaves him a part of the fields that's worth, you know, the amount that it appreciated in value. Okay, so again, we're talking about, obviously, it's going to be the same value. The question is just who gets the object. Can she claim, I want the object back? Or can he say no? And this goes back to what we said before, what Debbie was saying, is the object now belongs to him entirely. It's his. So she has no rights to the object. She just gets rights to the money that's stipulated in the ketubah. So now we're going to see a big machlok. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Hadin Ima. Rabbi Ami Amar Hadin Imo. Okay? Each one sides a different way. So now we're going to see how does this work. What's the logic? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Hadin Ima. Why? Mishum Shevach Beit Aviha Dida Have. When she brought this into the marriage, it was like her dowry. What's a dowry? A dowry, like you show off, right? It's like, these are my things. These are my family's things. These are my family heirlooms. I'm taking them with me. I want them back at the end, right? In other words, the whole reason she brought them was these are her family, this is her family property. So when she leaves, she obviously gets to take her family stuff with her. That was what it was all about. Rabbi Ami Amar Hadini Mo. Kevan de Amar Mar, now he's going to quote our Mishnah. It seems clear from the Mishnah, like Debbie said, it seems clear from the Mishnah that what? That these belong to him, right? They're now his. How do we know? Because they metu lo, motiro tiru lo, ho'il v'chayam v'apritan yochelu, right? They get to eat truma because they belong to him, okay? So therefore, when she leaves the marriage, right, when he dies or divorces her, he gets them because they're really his. Amar of Safra, now it goes back to what I already referenced. Miktane v'hen shelo. It doesn't say they're his. It doesn't say the words, they belong to him. It says they eat truma. Why? Because he's responsible for them. It doesn't say because they're his. So he says, I'm going to disagree with you because it doesn't ever say the words v'hen shelo. Yes, it's true he has responsibility for them, and because of his responsibility, that's why they get to eat truma, but not because he owns them. Now the Gemara is going to question that. Okay, but first he said, "Anshelo, who yovas hani v'chayav b'chuitan tani ulaolam lavdi dininu." They never really belong to him fully. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to question: the whole kol hecha d'chayav b'chuitan achli b'truma. Are you basically saying then that having achrayut means you eat truma? Wait, there's a mission in Trumo that disagrees with that. The hatznan Yisrael shesachar. Okay, so now again, it's easier to go through this quickly because I already gave you the whole intro to this, right? So now we're going to compare achrayut of nichsei som barzel to achrayut when it comes to schiwut, okay, renting. Okay, and we're going to say, first they're going to say, here you see that when you rent something, they don't eat truma like the person who's like the renter, okay? You don't have, they're not considered like yours for eating truma, so that's going to disprove it. But then we're going to answer, no, there's a difference between the achrayut for renting and the achrayut for nichsei tzon barzel. They're two different things. You're taking on more responsibilities for nichsei tzon barzel than you are for renting. Okay, maybe we'll stop at that point. The hatznan, Yisrael shesachar para mikohen. You rent a para from a kohen. Hareze yachilenu karshine truma. You can feed him. I forgot how they translate karshine. It's That's some word I don't really know in English so well either.
Vetch.
Vetch, okay? You can feed him vetch of truma, okay? Why? Because the para is the para of a kohen. It goes by the owner, not by the person who's renting it. Kohen shesachar para mi Yisrael. What if a kohen rents a para from a Jew, from a regular Yisrael? Even though when you rent it, you have to feed the animal and you have responsibility for him, lo yachilenu karchine truma. Okay, you can't give him truma just because you have responsibility. Now again, you also have responsibility for pshia, right? If you do something, you take this animal to a place where you shouldn't have taken him and he gets hurt, you're responsible. And gneva and aveda, if it gets stolen, if it gets lost, you're responsible. So now they're going to say, wait, but this isn't the same responsibility. The Tisbara, you really think so? Nihi nami d'machai b'gneva v'aveda, while it's true that here in Sirut, you're chayav for gneva v'aveda, okay? But you're not chayav for what? You're not chayav, we're going to see, for things that the Nechzei Tzon Barzal are chayav. Your achrayut is greater in the Nechzei Tzon Barzal. And that's what he's going to say in the end. Because the achrayut is greater, therefore they can eat truma. And when the achrayut is less, then you don't eat truma. Okay, so now let's see. So nihi de mechayev b'gnei v'aveda be'onse b'kachasho b'nipchat ameha mi mechayev. If you rent something and some terrible accident, right, something crazy happens that you weren't anticipating, you're not responsible. Or if the animal gets thinner, okay, and devalues while you're with him, obviously not because you didn't feed him, but you fed him, but for some reason he gets sick and, you know, loses weight. Or if it depreciates in value, okay, let's say the price of parot all of a sudden goes down, okay? Is that your fault? You happen to be renting the animal during that time period? Obviously, you're not responsible, okay? And therefore, halodanya, our case of achrayut nechzei tzon barzal isn't similar to that case. It's similar to the seif of that Mishnah. What's that case? Yisrael shesham para mikohen. What if you say, I'm going to rent a para, but I'm renting it, and I'll return it to you at exactly this value. Okay? Just like our case, right? Where you put the value of the item in the ketubah. Lo yachilenu karchinei truma. Okay? If you did this from a para of a kohen, he doesn't get to feed a truma because he's a Yisrael, and the para goes by him. If he takes responsibility for the exact amount, the para's worth 300 shekel, he says, I will return you 300 shekel's value of this para, then all of a sudden, it's considered yours, and you can't feed a truma. And likewise, the reverse, about Kohen, Shasham Parami Yisrael, Yachilenu Karshine Truma. But if it was the Kohen who was renting, he gets to feed a Truma. Okay, we'll stop here, and tomorrow we're going to finish up with this topic about what basically happens, who's responsible for what, and who we paskin like. That's what we're going to see. There's a bright to support one, there's a bright to support the other, and then we're going to see who we hold like.
Vetch is actually a name of a type of flower. It's a plant, it has small flowers, and it's used as fodder in green manure.
Okay.
Here it says it's like a mixture of beans.
Oh, really? Because
yeah.
The dictionary says...
I thought vetch was a plant.
Yeah,
but... Vetch is a plant that's specifically grown
for fodder. Okay, there you have it.
Oh, you know, yes.
Makes sense in the context here.
Yeah.
Right, okay.